Welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and also on every podcast network, as far as I know. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. It's the Dark Mark Show. My guests were like, what are we going to talk about? And we're just talking 10 minutes about underwear. So I don't know what's going on. This is going to be a good show tonight.
Toaster underwear.
This is Hannah's back. Hannah's Bach.
I'm back. It seems like I skip every other week.
Yeah, well, hopefully it wasn't intentional because we had a great show with Tara.
I don't think I'd fall intentionally, but yeah.
But it's another Hannah's choice. These are two of the people you really wanted to have on the show.
It is. Last time it was my choice, and now it's
yes.
my choice.
Yes. First off, we have joining us, who's been on the show before, mm-hmm. both at Skid Row Studios and here.
And, yeah.
Comedian extraordinaire. Maybe one of the last times we see her in L.A., if I'm reading correctly.
February. I think I'll go to New York in February. I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Well, anyway, now that you're BFF, of all the guests that we've had, you've really connected with a lot of them.
Yeah.
I think this is the one that you like the best.
I do. I mean, I love everyone. I don't want anybody's feelings to get hurt. But
you really connected.
Feelings hurt? Yes. What?
That's
amazing.
That's Nikki Wants. Uh-huh.
Yay, hi.
Yes. And Nikki, you're on a very special show tonight because you're with the man that Marilyn Manson said has a bigger dick than him, but Marilyn Manson's dick has more diseases, and that Hank Williams III said, I see Stanton as a symbol of the natural evolution of art, history, and culture. That's Stanton LaVey.
Hey.
Yay!
Yay.
You weren't aware of that quote?
No, those ones are new to me.
I dug deep. Trust me, we got plenty to talk about. And also, you have your lovely wife, and mm-hmm. I'm so bad with names, and you're married anyway.
Sharon.
You want to get a little closer to the mic, by the way, when you talk.
Hello.
Not necessarily you, but Stanton, you want to get a little closer to the mic when you talk.
Here I am.
Yeah, there you go. That's why we wear headphones. But you don't have to. You're please. Yeah. Who am I to tell you anything? But before we get started, because we're going to talk about some weird, satanic, crazy stuff, we better get our sponsors out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
Audible. Mm-hmm. A lot of devil books on Audible. And if you're not into that, Nikki... Did you hear about the new Audible series? Hi, Bob. Bob Newhart interviews Will Ferrell, Sarah Silverman. Yes. Sarah Silverman.
Wow.
Jimmy Kimmel. It's like 4 hours of interviews like a comedian's in a car getting coffee or out of WTF. But funny because it's Bob Newhart. He's the best.
Is he being pervy?
We'll see. I don't know. I haven't heard it yet. But it's if you go to audible.com/...
Bob Newhart?
No, audibletrial.com/DMS. Excuse me, audibletrial.com/DMS. You can get that. You can get a book about the devil. Not the satanic verses or satanic Bible. I didn't see those, but a lot of devil books. Or Stephen King books. 50 Shades of Grey. Whatever you want.
I didn't know Bob Newhart was still alive.
Bob Newhart's still alive. Yes, he's still alive. He's like in 91 interviewing people.
Who knew?
For Audible.
Now we know.
Yes. He's alive, and you can go to Audible.
That's like a borderline sort of like William Shatner type.
Right. Well, that's why I want to. That's why I want to hear these because Bob Newhart's funny anyway, but he's 90 years old and he's probably senile. So that'd be some great interviews.
Well, that's just like Jerry Lewis, didn't he? He just died not that long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was like, when he gets interviewed, he's like, "Are you fucking talking? What the fuck are you talking about?"
Yeah, that's
and
Jerry Lewis stuff. Like, Bob Newhart's a whole different thing.
I just kind of wish he would be like that, but maybe I'm going to check.
That'd be
it out,
great.
Though.
That'd be great. Hi, Bob. Fuck you. That'd be great. And then Hannah will tell us about our other sponsor.
We got Lionel Monroe Hat Company on Instagram.
Lionel.
Yeah, you said Lionel. Lionel Monroe.
Lionel Monroe Hat
Company.
Tell us about Lionel.
Building turns into a women's hat company.
Like Lionel Richie. Lionel Monroe Hat Company.
Lionel Richie. Poor little Lionel. No, it's my girlfriend's hat company. She hand makes hats. I'm Jamie Lynn Berman. And Lionel Monroe Hat Company on Instagram. Go ahead and follow her. DM her. Order a hat.
Right. Would she make a witch hat? Or
yeah,
a hat
she has
with,
a
like,
lot
a
of really.
Pentagram or...
She does. She has a lot of cool blocks. They don't run cheap. It's high quality.
Right.
So, yeah. Unfortunately, they are not vegan friendly, I must say. I got to put that out there since I am a vegan.
Right. So you don't wear your hats?
No.
Okay. All right.
Anyway. Well, she'll make a special vegan one for you.
She's talking about doing that for me, yeah.
Anyway, Stanton LaVey I met once.
That would otherwise be like a sellout plug, right?
Could be. Yeah. We're all selling out. I don't give a shit. You want to sponsor me, Stanton? Go right ahead. I don't care.
It's the Dark Mark Show.
It's the Dark Mark Show. Yeah. Stanton LaVey, if you don't know, I met Stanton LaVey once at the CIA, and you don't remember it. I remember because our mutual friend at the time, Matthew Roberts, who claimed to be Charles Manson's son.
Yes.
You say that's not true. I don't know. I haven't seen him in a few years, so I don't really know.
I think it's, it's reached a sort of ultimate conclusion.
I did read some stuff about that, but I always liked the guy. He was cool, and he had you introduce him at the time. And he's like, hey, I want you to meet Stanton LaVey. I'm like, wow, because I know of your grandfather.
I think Anton LaVey. Really vaguely actually remember that.
Well, you kind of gave me the brush off. You gave me a little bit of attitude, honestly, at the time. But I mean, you're really cool now, so it's all right. It happened.
I am definitely.
You really were not impressed. Like, wow, this is the goth comedian. You're like, you know, and if I was living your life, I wouldn't be impressed either.
Yeah,
I've read some things about you.
Yeah.
Yes, your grandfather is Anton LaVey, who and correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know anything about it. Founded the Church of Satan.
Correct.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you right now, up front, I know very little about Satanism. You're going to have to help me, Anna.
Okay, so like I tried to explain to Mark, you need to explain the difference between like Satanism and then LaVey scene.
Well,
so,
before
and for our listeners as well.
Well, before you do that, how do you define Satanism?
Oh man, see, that's such a loaded question. Satanism has
you must get that question every time.
Yeah, and it's like every week practically it changes from the last. It's one of those things where it's kind of gone in phases. It started as a cultic sort of religious, sort of quasi-religious group that was accepted publicly and had members, religious members, mm-hmm. you know. And then my grandfather, it was like the early to mid-70s, kind of became... I don't know, something must have happened, something that I don't know about personally, that he became, I guess, disenchanted or something with the idea of it as a religious outfit.
Really? And, I didn't know.
Yeah, and so, and I think that he may have kind of gotten like a little bit I guess gratification from the kind of hero worship that he was receiving from like offers from Hollywood, even for things like, you know, what would be by today's standards B movies. Of course, they're cult classics now.
Right.
Things like The Devil's Reign and all these other things that he was had involvement in.
Well, he walked around with a cape.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he like it was Super Satan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he was you always see him. He's like. I mean, did he ever tell you why?
Well, I mean, the thing is a lot of the pictures of him where he's out in public, at least places, and wearing a cape was essentially more or less a publicity stunt.
Right. I know that you've, and we'll get back. I'm sorry to interrupt,
sir.
But no, because I know you kind of got more of a G.G. Allen facial hair now, but. You've resembled him, and you've had facial hair just like him
yeah,
in the past.
Yeah.
And you shaved your head.
Yeah.
Like, and by the way, I just recently shaved my head because my friend.
It suits you.
That's what people tell me.
It does.
That's what everybody tells me.
It really does.
Right. Thank you, Ryan Talmo, our friend, the comedian. Please go do his GoFundMe.
You can't say that about everyone either. Not everybody has a head for it.
Really?
That's true.
It's yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. Good. Really. I'm glad to hear that. But do you have any tips, by the way, on shaving the head? Because.
Oh,
it's really like.
Oh yeah. Well, tips. I don't know. I mean, I
did your grandfather like show you how to shave your head, or
that's funny, right? 5 years old, shaving my head. No, he didn't. I still had a little bit left up top when he died.
Right.
And then, but then after he died, I saw the inevitable coming. You know, the inevitable sort of hereditary. Hair loss, you know.
Oh, is that what?
Heading my way.
Oh, good.
Heading, no pun intended.
Yeah, and it skips a generation.
And then I, you know, I said to myself, well, you know, I'm sort of picking up in his absence in some respects, so it wouldn't hurt to sort of, you know, fashion myself in a manner similar to him, so that people, you know, recognize me or make sort of that connection that way, you know.
Right, because I got a full head of hair, but people are like, all my bald friends are like, hey, welcome to the club. I'm like, I'm not in the club, I could just grow it out. But
oh, Sharon thinks I look wonderful in a wig, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what you guys do in your veterans is your business. But but to go back even before you were born, it was Anton LaVey was very very much a celebrity.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's a rumor that he dated Jane Mansfield.
There's that famous picture with them.
It's right. There's actually a lot of famous pictures of him with Jane because they were pretty close friends for over a year. There's like, I have some kind of, I guess, unusual theories about Anton's relationship with Jane. I actually think that they may have, I mean, from what sort of little tidbits that I'm gathering that maybe I'm able to, but other people wouldn't be able to, just
right.
through my grandmother and stuff like that. I get the feeling like they may have had more actually of an affair than it even looked like they had. And it certainly looked like they were from all of the photos of them together. I mean,
how can they have more of an affair, like anal or what? I mean,
I mean, more of an affair, meaning right. more of an affair so they were than really, just a public image, right. Publicity stunt.
Oh, okay.
Know? Yeah.
And Sammy Davis Jr. would party with them?
Yeah, Sammy was in San Francisco shooting this movie that's another sort of underground, like, sleeper cult classic called Poor Devil, where he played opposite Christopher Lee, who played Lucifer or Satan or something in the film. And Sammy's part was where they were in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And he was playing this sort of Faustian role,
right.
you know, like a tongue-in-cheek Faust type thing.
This sounds cool. I gotta check this out.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
Sammy Davis Jr. and Christopher Lee in a movie? That's fucking badass.
I know, Christopher Lee is so amazing.
In a satanic movie.
In a satanic movie. That's fucking badass.
Super cool.
It's called Poor Devil.
And I guess he was doing research or
possibly. Yeah, and what happened is...
hey, man, tell me about this devil thing, man.
It sounds out of sight. Yeah, it's...
I like this religion.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, he did. And Sammy was, you know.
I like the cape, man.
Yeah.
It's groovy.
Yeah.
Groovy,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Well, Sammy was really flamboyant and sort of like he was friends with Liberace. They wore like, you know, pounds of jewelry. And,
yeah.
And so, and also Sammy was a, you know, pretty well established ladies' man, if you
right.
will. And I think that that in combination with the fact that.
As Sammy was your grandfather.
And, yeah, and Sammy and Anton both had, you know, early life experiences sort of working their way up through the ranks in show business
right.
and in music that they. And they also had a great appreciation for old time music that they both were able to talk about that
right.
a lot of people didn't know about, you know.
Now, I noticed you referred to him as Anton, not Grandpa. Is there a reason, or?
Well, I guess it just depends on the context, yeah.
Right.
I mean, in a situation like this, setting like this, rather, it's, you know.
Because I know Hannah's got the most adorable grandpa.
Yeah, everybody calls him Grandpa, though. Yeah. He's been coined Grandpa.
And both my grandfathers passed away when I was a little kid, so I never really had a grandpa. My grandmothers had, you know, boyfriends and things.
Yeah.
But what was it like to have?
It was. I mean, it was like Grandpa Munster in a lot of ways. I mean, especially...
He had a black house.
Yeah, and when Nicholas Schreck hooked up with Xena, he was very Frankenstein-esque, too, especially with missing...
Xena's your mother.
Yeah, and missing an ear, you know, only adds to the sort of Frankenstein monster quality.
Yeah, I don't know much about him. He's missing an ear?
Yeah.
Did he cut it off, like, Van Gogh style? Or?
No. Some sort of tragic accident. Like,
wasn't a ritual, or...?
No. If anything, it was kind of like... it was something that I think he may have had coming to him, because he was kind of... going out, like, leaving sort of, you know, anti-gay propaganda leaflets on car windows in SF or LA during an AIDS march type thing or something like that. And some guys apparently started chasing after him and his friend that were doing this. And they were basically being assholes doing this in the first place. And Nicholas remembered the story or would tell people the story that... that one of these guys, like, sliced his ear off with a blade. And, you know, I even remember when I was a kid hearing the story and thinking to myself, you know, that it doesn't really sound likely that these guys that at an AIDS, you know, parade would be, like, you know, knife-wielding, really. But you never know.
Yeah,
but
it could be Silver Lake. I mean, that could happen.
It only takes 6 pounds of pressure to bite off a human ear.
Even less so when it turns out that it was the door jamb of a taxi cab that they jumped into that they were fleeing the scene from, and he left it behind him.
Mm.
Yeah, ripped it off in the car door. And
And that was your stepfather, so to speak.
Yeah, my godfather, Kenneth Anger, the underground filmmaker,
right.
he nicknamed my stepfather Mr. Potato Head.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
That's funny. And that's fucked up, but it's funny. Hey, this show, we love fucked up and funny. And then Kenneth Anger wrote Hollywood Babylon.
Yeah,
and,
really, sort of like an underground film icon pioneer.
Right, right. Yeah. So growing up as a kid, Did you grow up in the house?
Yes, I did.
In the black house?
I was brought home from the hospital to the black house. First 5 years of my life were spent there. And then again, off and on through for another few years. Then moved to L.A. with my parents and then to Vienna, Austria. And
when you say your parents, there's still a mystery who your father is.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
No one knows.
Right.
Not even you?
No.
Wow.
There's been speculation. I'm not going to repeat some speculation because I saw something. You were a little angry at somebody who thought.
Yeah.
There's a wild rumor that your grandfather was. There's a wild rumors that other people are.
Yeah. My grandfather's my father.
Yeah.
Which, I put it this way, with my grandfather and all the wild stuff going on back then, like, it
there was no shortage of pussy, so.
That's true. That's why if it were true, which I can't say that it isn't, but I don't think it is.
Okay.
But I think that I'd probably be smarter if it were.
Right. Oh, okay. That's fair enough.
Probably be Go more ahead. Successful if it had been true.
Like, I went to Catholic school, and when I was like trying to find myself, and I'm looking at everything, I'm looking at Buddhism, and actually the one thing that I did really. I read the Satanic Bible was the one thing that I was like, this is really what's up. Like,
yeah.
And it's not hurting people. It's not about hurting people. It's not about hurting yourself. It's kind of being a hedon. It's a little bit being a hedonist, living how you want to live and taking care. And that's what I heard.
And live and let live.
And live and let live. And don't, as long as you're not hurting people. And I was like, I'm like, we don't need Christ. We need Satan. Fuck that shit. You know,
is that your interpretation of Satan?
That's a great response to Satanism. That's like that. I think that's what we want as Satanists for people to get there.
Right.
Well, then I heard that's why your grandmother really did leave, because it became a blood. It was like ritualistic and very.
Two things happened. People started
the dark side.
Yeah, people started like interpreting things that my grandfather wrote that were kind of like. Borderline poetry in a way, because it's like, it's not stuff that you're supposed to necessarily, it's symbolic and allegorical, and there's lots of metaphors and stuff that is intended for people who are more like thinking people than people that might take it in one crazy extreme or another. But people, there's an extremist nature in the human, fabric of things that there, it's bound to happen. There's bound to be wackos that turn out to be the Night Stalker that was also a big fan of Anton's. Ramirez showed up to...
And listen to AC/DC.
Yeah. And stuff like that. People that, that essentially caused all the hysteria and mania in the 80s that they called the Satanic Panic, where all these different talk show hosts were jumping on this bandwagon in cooperation with these pop psychologists that were... churning out these, books on repressed memories and sort of giving kids leading questions to make them say things to incite these insane court cases like the McMartin preschool case and things that led to the ruining of dozens and hundreds maybe of families. And all it really proved was that the witch hunts never really ended,
Yeah, it's like the Satanic Panic.
Well, in the 80s, it totally was. Yeah, I mean, they were, and then gangster rap came over, and then nobody gives a shit about it anymore. But you were saying LaVey Satanism versus other Satanism. What were you going to say?
Well, because you and I kept having conversations, and you were making jokes. I'm like, no, there's a difference, and then I think we just covered it now.
What's the difference? Oh, the difference is LaVey Satanism is do what you want, but don't hurt
anybody.
Yeah,
exactly. Pretty much take responsibility for your own life.
Take responsibility for yourself and live here with respect.
And
it has a pagan kind of aspect to it.
Yeah.
And that's how I was just saying, I remember, and I still, I wish it's at my parents' house that I would underline I had the Satanic when I was in high school and I was going to Catholic school, but I was like, but if you read, they're like, you're a Satanist. But I'm like, actually, it would be way more like LaVey Satanist, way more than Christianity, because I'm like, if you read the Bible, are you effing kidding me?
You're no stranger to being blasphemous. I was reading today. You said that Greece was misogynist.
Greece is fucking misogynist. Don't even get me started on Greece. You're a big fat person. You want to go to the prom with me? You know, and she's like, mean.
What was this? I haven't seen Greece in a long time.
That one girl that's like the chubby girl. Yeah. Exactly. Watch Greece now, and you're gonna be like horrified.
Yeah,
how horrible. I can't. We could do the whole.
Wasn't there an ugly guy too?
Well, first of all, it's like just a breakdown.
Not Travolta, Travolta.
No, Kyle, well, you know, yeah. What's her name? Sandy comes and she's, you know, from Australia. You know, she's cute and she doesn't know anyone and she's coming to this new school and she meets this dude on a vacation and he's so nice to her. She's like, oh my God, we're at the same school. And he's like, fuck you, bitch. I don't give a fuck about you. She's like devastated. And then she's got to drink alcohol and smoke cigarettes to like fit in. I'm like, why can't she?
But
just,
doesn't he
and
long?
Then bully, the pink ladies bully the shit out of her.
Wait, doesn't.
And I'm like, how is Rizzo like even. It's in high school. She's like 60 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, she's like 42. But,
yeah, but I thought it was an undercover shit. Like she was like a cop trying to bust up the driving ring.
Doesn't Travolta?
That'd be a good like Tarantino remake of Grease, right?
Yeah. She's an undercover cop trying to bust up like the drive, like the speed drive. What is it? What is it like,
the drag racing,
Grease Lightning. They're trying to bust a Grease Lightning crew. I'm like, and they're bullies. The fucking pink ladies are fucking making her.
But those are women. Those are women on women.
Yeah, it's bullying and it's
they bully the guys that they bully.
And then I don't know how Rizzo's even pregnant. How could she even get pregnant? Because she's like 50 years old.
I know.
And then Kanicki's like, it's not my baby, even though I didn't use a condom. And, you know, and
I think
he's
Grease
like,
is kind of
Kanicki's
so
like, you
mean.
Have menopause. How did you have a baby?
They're mean.
But American Graffiti came first.
Yeah, and that's nice. That's
well, what I'm saying is, I think Grease is kind of like the disco answer to American Graffiti, isn't it? It's like what it is.
Yeah. And then they leave Frenchie in the goddamn. You know she's obviously tripping on acid, thinking that you know that guy's coming out of the sky, and she's got pink hair, and she's obviously on drugs. And they leave her alone in that malt shop. They turn off the lights, and they're like, "Bye." She's like, and then beauty school dropout happens, and you know she's on drugs. Like that, she's high as fuck. Like, you know
you're junkie. Go back to high school.
You know what's cool about Travolta though is that somehow he manages. To be a Scientologist, it's kind of like Beck. He manages to be a Scientologist and not, remarkably, he doesn't come across like as big of a douchebag as I would think, like, naturally one would want to believe he is.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like instinct kind of makes me go, oh my God, I want to think John Travolta is this douchebag, but he's not, and he doesn't come across as one. And I think he's cool, you know? I think he's
I have
cool.
I have a few Scientologist friends. My whole thing with religion, and I'm not religious, I'm an agnostic Buddhist. I meditate sometimes, but if it works for you,
yeah, sure.
And you don't leave me alone. I don't give a shit what you are.
Just don't be oppressive.
Or on the flip side, you know, religion should do damage control. You know, when it comes to people like their biggest sponsors, like Tom Cruise jumping around, you know, flailing about over Scientology.
He's
excited.
He's a wacko.
But in that book, he's so catered by them. Like, they do everything. They pull out the stops. They meet a whole. I read the book, the Going Clear book. Mm-hmm. I watched the documentary, but there's so much more in the book. It's so
fucked.
I'm sure,
yeah.
Well, where Scientology really gets interesting is in these fringe groups that don't even publicly identify as branches of Scientology that you wouldn't even otherwise know. Have to do with Scientology, like up the street, the Psychiatry Industry of Death Museum.
That's all Scientology.
That's Scientology, but you would never know it, and there's no mention of it anywhere in relation to it. And I know the history of that Psychiatry Industry of Death thing. It actually began, get this, as a suicide hotline that was a cult that would invite people to call them to prevent suicide so that they could use that as a means of initiating them into their cult by I mean, how low does it go, right?
Wow.
And there was this period of time in the like during the mid and late 70s where a lot of these cults that were kind of like semi to relatively successful in the late 60s and even earlier than that were kind of evaporating due to like, you know, post Helter Skelter type, you know, just freaked out society. And so these cults were going bankrupt and wholesaling off their whole cult businesses, and Scientology bought out that one among many other cults.
You don't say.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that sounds like
it's like garage sale shopping for cults.
Well, that sounds like Christianity.
They took a lot of tips from Christianity.
Yeah, it's like the Black Plagues. Oh, everybody's dying. We can't. Put in that pesky Bible that you can't kill yourself or you're going to go to hell.
Scientology and L. Ron Hubbard. You know, L. Ron Hubbard's first LA publicist was this guy, Forrest Ackerman. You might know.
Yeah, of course. Forrest
Ackerman.
He published Famous Monsters magazine.
Yes, yeah. And he also coined the term sci-fi.
Right.
And L. Ron was a sci-fi writer. And Forrest was his publicist. And Forrest used to complain to me about how Elrond owed him $15 and that even after he had amassed like this fortune of millions of dollars, that when Fori would run into him places, he would say, hey, where's my 15 bucks? And Elrond would say, would either say, oh, I forgot my wallet at home tonight, or he'd go to the bathroom and then run out the back door to get away from paying Fori 15 bucks or something like that that he owed him for like 25 years.
Well, you really came into your own, I guess, early 2000s.
Yeah.
You bought a bookstore, I guess, across the street.
Opened a bookstore.
Odeon?
That's right.
Okay. And apparently a lot of celebrity clientele.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you had also in 2006, 666.
Yes.
That
might be finally coming out on DVD, it looks like.
Okay. So you had a wedding.
Yes.
But apparently not a real wedding.
No.
It was ordained by Elvis, the Mexican Elvis. I love that guy.
That's right. Yeah.
And Hank the Third played.
Yeah.
Danzig played with him.
Alkaline Trio. Lamb of God.
Lamb of God. Okay.
Yeah. And Murder Junkies.
Right.
45 Grave.
That's a great lineup.
Yeah.
When did G.G. Allin die?
Oh, back in the 90s.
Early 90s.
It was early 90s, right?
But, you know, actually, your grandfather lived longer than he did, right? He was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You guys know about Dolomite and the Dolomite movie coming out?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Rudy Ray Moore. Oh, that's right. I saw Rudy Ray Moore.
I was just watching Dolomite, the Rudy Ray Moore.
You knew Rudy Ray Moore?
I paid Rudy to perform at 666. It was his last paid show before he died.
Jesus, now I'm impressed. Yeah. I love Rudy Ray Moore.
And at the time, everybody was like, what the hell are you doing, Stanton, hiring this guy amidst all these other sort of like punk heavy metal type acts and stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I've got my reasons, you know. And now,
how'd he go over?
It was
towards the end.
People just didn't get it.
Yeah.
People didn't get it, and he didn't come across great. He was sick. He was really sick.
Yeah.
And we had to lure him on stage with hundreds of dollars. He showed up with Don the Magic Wand, his friend, who he named Archbishop. Mm-hmm. I didn't know this, but Dolomite named him Archbishop.
He did?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so Eddie Murphy's playing Rudy Ray Moore in a movie coming out. Did you guys know that?
I knew that there was – I thought it was Mike Epps, but I knew there was no Dolomite.
Yeah, no, it's Eddie Murphy playing Rudy Ray Moore. They're talking Academy Awards, so it's pretty cool.
That'd be great. No, yeah. I love Rudy Ray Moore.
Yeah, they have that. I was just looking that up because I was watching the Petey Wheatstraw.
That's right. Yeah. You know? That's how I was introduced to it.
I got the whole collection. Like, Human Tornado.
I was just watching that. Yeah, not that long ago. And it's funny that you were talking about Rudy Ray. I was like, I think I just was quoting on, I was just tweeting. I was like, if I see a ghost, I cut the motherfucker.
Now, how do you meet Hank III? Is there like a famous grandson's like Hollywood club or something or what?
Right, I know. He came to my bookshop too. You know, it was kind of like, it was a little bit art gallery, a little bit bookshop and research center for producers and entertainers and stuff.
Right.
They would get like, you know, materials that they would end up using as kind of like source material for album art and different things, you know.
Yeah, Marilyn Manson has a famous quote where he, or there's a quote that you say, he bought so much that it paid for the whole month.
Yeah, well, actually more than just a month. He pretty much like kept me in business.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so what happened with the story? It was only like a couple years.
I was 23 years old and I was barely sustaining. I mean, this was 2001 in LA. There was no scene.
Right.
The only people that, there was two types of people that came in that were just like, you know, schizophrenic, you know, Satanists that were like not bad people necessarily, but like not ones who bought stuff.
Right.
And I would end up like giving them things.
Right.
You know, more than selling them. And then these celebrities that would come in, like Rick Rubin and, you know, people that would really make me feel like I'm doing this for some reason.
Right.
You
know?
Me and Rick Rubin have the same birthday.
Well, good for you guys. So you were raving about Danzig before. Now that you're on the air, you're
I know. Well, I went to the show at the Forum.
These people are legends, you know. I'm not immune to that, you know.
Right. And there's video. I mean, there's bad video of Danzig and Hank III singing at your wedding.
Bad video. There is bad. There's good video too. I have the good video, and the bad video was shot with, a smartphone, if one existed in 2006.
There were a few. I think it was a flip phone. But anyway, I was gonna ask you because I was listening to your podcast.
Which one? The one where I was, the
How
new
many
one?
Podcasts do you have?
Well, there's something wrong with me.
There's
That's
something
only
wrong
one,
with you.
But I have.
Why do you name it? There's something wrong with me.
Because I'm fucked up.
You're not that fucked up.
Well, we don't have enough time in this podcast to get into.
No, but I was listening to the you.
That's better.
You did it in 2014.
One more than my podcast.
You did it in 2014.
How many do you have a podcast?
I have a podcast with no episodes.
Well, you got to get on it.
I know. Yeah. I'm running.
But I was listening to the, Tinder episode.
Doesn't that make you feel responsible now?
I feel responsible for me. You guys have get it together.
Hey, right?
Because I'm gonna let me know. I'll be the first one to follow it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Stanton, is Tinder the devil's work? That's what I want to know.
Wait, but what about Tinder? Is like looking for a fucking hot meal in a dumpster.
Well, but you on the show you say, I get Grindr. It's guys that just want to fuck. Yes, that's what Tinder is too.
Did I say that?
Yes.
When did I say that? Which
on
one?
The show on the Tinder show. You talked about this guy who was, like, perfect, but he had a small dick.
Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah.
I know he was like, I'm tearing up your pussy. I'm like, you ain't even creasing it, honey.
Yeah.
You're not making sense. I'm tindering other dudes while he's eating my pussy. I'm like, just fuck me.
Well,
you were
comparing his,
you were comparing
his dick to the iPhone.
I actually did. I measured. I was sucking his dick, and I measured it. I was like, because it was the iPhone, I had the 4.
Was it? Oh, I
had
like
the 3.
No,
it was the 3.
Like S's, right?
No,
right.
It wasn't like the small one.
It wasn't the iPad. It was the iPhone.
It wasn't. I didn't take the laptop and be like, well, let me just make.
Yeah.
No, it was the 4. It was the 3. Or small. It was
the
small
one.
It was a baby one. Yeah. And it's like that much room. It had that much room. And I was like, and he was huge. Like he was
at least you know you can take a picture of it and it'll fit in the frame.
It would totally. I could actually like layer it, like right. 7 or 8.
Wow!
Like, you do like an Andy Warhol dick, small dick.
Yes,
dick.
Yeah. I could.
Yeah, that'd be great.
No, yeah.
But everything else was great about the guy.
No, and he was a huge dude, so it was the worst thing.
So he's 6'5" and a 4-inch.
Huge
thick.
Hands, huge, big, like pick me up, like made me feel like a little lady. And then it's like,
wow.
It was like the size of a lipstick.
That's sad.
You know? See, no one's perfect.
No one is perfect.
Right.
It's true.
And then, but you were also, you know, apparently you got a lot of guys asking for ass sex on the first date. And one.
Well, they talk about it. Hey, you know what? I'm all for the culo.
Because
like,
give me
know.
Tips. Because
that's
probably
the type of thing. The reason for that is like because it's, you know, at a bar, it's a little bit more awkward to be like, hey, you know, how about butt fucking?
Oh, so come on, Stanton. You've done that.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm not.
Butt fucking in the bar?
No.
You're the grandson of Satan. If anybody can go up to a girl and say, can I fuck you up the ass?
Tonight.
It's you.
Yeah, I know.
And I would just be like, is there cocaine and whiskey involved? Because then it's fine.
I'll admit you're kind of right on that. But yeah. But you can't just compare, you know, you can't compare me with the norm, you know? I mean,
right.
I'm not on Tinder.
I know. That's why she's smiling. I got it.
No, but I mean, I'm not opposed to anal. But
no, but I haven't had a Tinder match and I'm not on it that much. But
I'm not. I deleted it. I'm done. I
haven't had a Tinder match in a month. You came up twice. Hannah came up this week, and I clicked. I super liked her because I wanted her to check out my profile. She's like, it looks good. I'm like, something's wrong because I'm not getting any action.
Tinder's something I threaten to do if I get mad.
Well, I'm gonna Tinder.
I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna get a Tinder.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, trust me. That's an idle threat.
No, it's like going. Right? It's like going to a strip club.
I can imagine you on Tinder, like.
Yeah, man.
Or like going.
You have to get your grandpa's cape and like the old.
You could have a whole setup.
There's a popular but kind of rare photo. That's of course it's one of the more popular ones in my archive of Anton in cape and horns with this smirk on his face, wearing nothing from the waist down.
Yeah.
And that'd be like the perfect Tinder pic.
Wow.
Super like.
So
there you go.
You've actually seen your grandpa's dick.
I have.
Yeah.
Well, I remember seeing it in person. He taught me he taught me how to pee. Yeah. So
I didn't know that. Sorry.
I was at waist level. So I mean it was right there. You know?
But don't isn't that like dudes do that? Like
dudes do that.
Like your parents, like your
no,
dad.
No, my
or
dad,
your,
no, my
your
dad
grandfather.
Yeah, like
my
eventually
dad
they get tired of you peeing your pants and he goes, come on, let me take you to the bathroom and show you how to do it.
Right.
I mean if they show you like their boner, that's a different story.
No, that never happened.
Then but it's like, you know, I'm not saying like in general, like I'm like I wouldn't want to see, but if I was a guy, I would understand my dad.
I did go on a couple dates with like strippers that had hooked up with my grandfather.
Wow.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, how was that? That's
strange.
Crazy.
Especially like when I didn't know beforehand and we're like on a date. And the chick's like, oh, yeah, I was over there at your grandfather's and gave him a blowjob, you know, like six months ago. And I'm like, oh, okay.
No, okay.
Did you
good.
Cut the date right there? Was it just too awkward?
You know.
That's a no. But I was going to say, these aren't people that like were with your grandfather in the 60s.
No, these are people who were with my grandfather in his 60s.
Right. Yeah. Wow, that's Karen blowjobs with the wow.
Yeah,
and like I say, you did have the look.
Well, no. Sort of. This was when I was much younger. I didn't. I had the name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they were like, you know, wanted to see if it was grandfather or like grandson, like grandfather.
You were grandfathered in it, so to speak.
It was like the groupies.
There are Satan groupies. And you've taken advantage of that, from what I've gathered. You've got a beautiful wife now, but you had in your younger days.
She wouldn't be with me if I was in Santa LaVey.
Right.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. No. Maybe.
Right. Okay.
I wouldn't be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well.
So if you were like.
You're not,
Sam,
you're not the only one.
McPhee, the truck driver, you would be like, you don't think he's.
Well, no, I mean.
Because you're tall, you're good.
You're like, I wouldn't get top shelf pussy, okay?
No, I'd be all right. I'd be all right. There were plenty of times in my life where I wasn't touting my horns and cape, and I did perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you have a bigger dick than Marilyn Manson. Maybe you just whip it out.
I've heard Marilyn Manson's not that endowed.
No.
Yeah, it's not like a big.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing.
But Ron Jeremy once chased after me at the Rainbow Room. I ended up giving him a ride home because he kind of like.
You gave him a blowjob.
No. I gave him a ride home because he kind of like. He was like asking me what my secret is, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
With any girls?
Yeah, with the ladies, yeah.
What's funny about Ron? I was at in Miami.
I knew you had
a
Ron Jeremy.
I do.
Story. I know.
And I saw Ron Jeremy there, and I said, "Oh, I saw this porn with you. You guys were talking about you were getting a blowjob from a girl, and another guy was fucking her from behind. You guys were talking about gardening, and it was just like this random.
That sounds like a Ron Jeremy.
And he goes, "I don't remember that porn. I don't remember most of the porn." And he's like, "Do you want to go fuck?" And I'm like.
That's Ron.
I'm on my period. He goes, I don't fucking care.
Oh, That's Ron.
And
that's
I'm
Ron.
Like, I'm not cool. And so then, but years later, I had to go to his building up here in Hollywood. I don't know if he's still in, like, Franklin.
Yeah, that's where I dropped him off at, yeah.
And I went in there, and he was in the lobby or whatever. And right. I was like, Ron Jeremy, you tried to fuck me in Miami. He said, well, did it work? I'm like, no, you didn't fuck me. He's like. Well, what about now?
That's right. Wrong.
And I was like, nope. And he was like, well, why didn't you fuck? And I was like, because I was on my period. He's like, well, what about, he's like, but what about now? I'm like, still on my period.
You should just be honest and say it's the back hair.
You know, Ron Jeremy.
It's something to grab onto, though.
Yeah. No, what's your Ron Jeremy story?
Obviously, I worked at the Rainbow, so I have tons of Ron Jeremy stories. No, he was really pervy one time, and he's like, give me a kiss on the cheek, and then he stuck his tongue in my mouth. That's the most disgusting thing I've ever had in my mouth.
No, he's
a
hedgehog.
Ron Jeremy's tongue. Yeah, but...
He motorboated my ex-girlfriend.
No, he knew I didn't make a lot of money at the Rainbow, and he would actually come upstairs, which he never does, and be like,
he's
hey, DJ
into, like,
Hannah.
Ron Jeremy Appreciation Society.
Right?
I know.
But he signed my first Rainbow paycheck with his phone number, and I still have it, and then he would come upstairs and be like, do you want me to sign your pizza box so you could sell it on eBay to make some more money, because I know you don't make a lot of money here.
Oh, wow.
So he's actually a really nice guy.
Yeah, that's cool. I would think, yeah. But displaying that paycheck is one of those things where people would probably get the idea that, you know, that he signed it, like, with having, you know,
well, also,
an experience of some kind more than.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he told me he'd do things to me, like, multiple times, but I'm like, no, I'm okay.
Yeah, we've seen the films.
You know, I mean.
I haven't for a reason.
You've never seen a Ron Jeremy
I have not
that's
wanted
like, that's
to.
Difficult. That's
He's
difficult.
He's in, like, everyone.
No, but I don't really.
Did you know that I'm on.
She's like
I'm on Pornhub.
Oh, yeah. She sent me the video.
I'm on X Hamster.
But I'm not because of the sex, because I was on the real sex.
Yeah.
I was on a real sex episode, and I was talked to on the street.
I was in a porn once, but it just all it did was make the ladies go even crazier, because I kept my pants on.
The only porn I was on Vine, and now that's gone.
So. Wow, now I got something to do when I get home. Yeah. I got
my ex-boyfriend, 6 seconds.
Dark Mark.
Yeah, but I'm going to Google both of you, and hopefully we'll see what happens. I got some stupid questions for you about Satanism. Some silly questions. Let's say silly questions. Because I read a few things, a few rumors. There's a rumor that Taylor Swift is a clone of your mother. Is that true?
Yes.
Really? Okay. There's also a rumor that Joel Osteen is an undercover agent for Satan.
I don't even know who that is.
He's like one of the biggest preachers, one of these big mega churches.
Oh, well, then definitely.
Definitely.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I don't need to know who he is to know that's true.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's see. Do you think the devil is real?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see.
This is easy.
All right. this is coming from C-Free in New Orleans. I was on his podcast, C-Free, and DJ Tandem. He's a white rapper turned
comedian. C-Free.
White rapper turned comedian. How many Bibles have you jerked off in?
two or three.
Like, I didn't think about that. You're like, wait a minute.
Okay, and how many crosses have you spat on?
Oh, see, that gets difficult because I don't remember how many crosses I've jerked off on or spat on. It gets a little... It's...
What's the only religion where they use an instrument of death?
Dozens.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's fair enough. Okay. And so those were the silly questions. Now, what you're doing now, we were going to have you on a couple weeks ago, but you're doing a thing at a theater, the Zephyr Theater.
Yeah, I am.
What are you doing now? Are you doing stand-up like every other evil asshole in L.A. or what?
No, but I probably should start.
You could do it. Yeah. You're funny.
Yeah.
That's all we need is one more fucking
stand-up. I had this idea. I had an idea for a stand-up comedy routine once that would where I would be Herman the gay skinhead with patent leather boots and a sequin like swastika jacket and sort of march around like and sing like, I don't know.
Well, that's something I was going to ask you too also because you shave your head, but I read something. You grew up in Austria.
I spent some of my youth in Austria.
And I heard that you got beat up by skinheads, which is why I'm curious why you would go with the skinhead, just because you were losing your hair and you wanted to look cool.
Yeah, I mean, basically. Yeah. And I mean, like I said, on weekends I wear wigs, but some weekends. But
what kind of wigs?
Usually cheap Chinese ones from eBay.
Okay.
Yeah. But
what you go on Wish.com? You can get them for $4.
I have spent a pretty penny on a couple of nice tubes, but. As far as what were we just talking about?
We were talking about your pop up at
Zephyr. Oh yeah. So what's going on now is I'm not doing comedy. No, but last time I was there, it was funny, but not ha ha funny. Like oh shit.
But you're doing theater.
Yeah. Well, I did a presentation last in July for my friend Adam Parfrey, who owned Feral House Books and who died in May. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a tribute to him.
Okay.
And then this month on the 11th, I'm screening a 16mm film print of the documentary on the Church of Satan called Satanus.
Okay.
Satanus, the Devil's Mass. Something Weird Video put it out ages and ages ago, and it is being remastered and with commentary added for a Blu-ray release in 2019 or 2020.
Right.
So,
because I am curious how you make money.
Me too. It just seems
she is too.
It's the Hollywood hustle. It's the Hollywood hustle.
It seems to happen. I mean,
how would you define yourself? If somebody say Sandra LeVay is this? Because I always refer to you as the president of the Church of Satan, but you're not affiliated with the Church of Satan now.
Well, the Church of Satan really isn't affiliated with the Church of Satan to begin with.
Okay.
The current Church of Satan has nothing in common or to do with the Church of Satan that existed up until my grandfather's death. Well, it's totally different.
But
things.
this is a weird. I don't even know if I should talk about it. But like, I heard that there was like the new Church of Satan now is very dark, and there is like very dark things happening in LA, like catacomb situations under like Silver Lake, and very esoteric.
Yeah. Stuff going
really,
on.
Really, like,
you mean,
dark.
I mean, people in the sewers, like, meeting? And...
Well, no, like ritualistic things that are happening. Mm. And it's really, like, terrifying what I've heard about.
Huh. I'll have to look that up. Yeah. I don't know about it personally, but...
So I don't know if you know. Like, that's the guy that now runs the church. He has, like, the Range Rover with the 666 and...
Yeah, I don't know about any of that. But the thing is, they intentionally kind of, like, keep me from knowing a lot of stuff so that I don't... So that I can... play the part of not knowing better. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, if you go on their website, which, they just kind of brush you off. Like, they acknowledge that you were born.
Barely.
And Anton had two other kids.
He had three other kids.
He had his son and two other daughters.
He had a late-in-life son, my Uncle Satan.
Right.
And then...
It's Stable Satan.
Yeah.
Satan LeVay.
Satan LeVay, yeah.
Okay.
And so... Yeah, I'm screening Satanus, and I also own about 6+ hours of unreleased film footage of Anton,
right,
along with a lot of never before heard music of Anton performing, because he was a really excellent organ player and keyboard player, and a really talented musician. And so we're going to be releasing a couple vinyl records of that, and just like little things here and there, and also the 666 show on DVD. I'm talking with some people right now about putting that up finally. And
you just came out with a song with Hank III?
No, that's old. That's ancient.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it said 2018.
It says that. That's just what probably the internet posted. Does. Yeah.
It yeah. doesn't I, like, it just popped up on my Spotify. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brand new. That's good. Brand new hit from Hank III and Stanton LaVey.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
And I'm also, this is a big deal to me for me personally. I'm writing a biography with the plan to make a film documentary about a woman I know who was raised as a boy. Who was born intersex. She's a boy on her birth certificate, but she's not a boy. She doesn't have a penis. She doesn't have anything resembling a penis. Mm-hmm. She just does not have a vagina. And she also has other hormone-based complications. But right. she.
Well, what does she have?
What does she look like? A Barbie?
She's a normal, pretty girl, 31 years old, but she doesn't have, down there, she doesn't have anything.
It's like a Barbie.
She has some like tissue.
Yeah. Like how does she pee?
She has the ability to do
that. I mean, not to like get graphic, but it's just like,
she has the ability to do that. She also has a clit. She's able to climax that way, but she is a virgin.
If anybody would know.
Well, it's
hey, I used to know a woman that was an escort, that was a madam. She was it was huge in New York, and when she got popped, it was everywhere. And she was she's from Nigeria, and she had the genital mutilation, so she couldn't come.
Ooh. Yeah.
So she was like, I'm going to just become the biggest madam in New York because I can't get any pleasure from fucking anyway.
I was joking, but you're saying she's a virgin.
And she's this is a real story.
Well, that's heartbreaking.
It is. Heartbreaking. It's really, really, it's tragic and it's uplifting because she attempted, well, I don't want to give it all away, but she's been through a lot of really, really hard times. She doesn't live in California. She lives in a place that culturally is not, polite or accepting when it comes to that type of, dilemma in life. And she's agreed to, she's planning on having an operation to have a vagina made, and has agreed tentatively to allow me to film the operation and document her, coming through this process of transition. Right. She's a mortician now, mm-hmm. and a licensed one.
I fully support that. I'm not going to watch it.
It's called The Girl. It's called The Girl with No Vagina.
Right. That's a great title.
Thank you.
Well, they had. I mean, if they can make a man turn into a penis turn into a vagina and look real, I watched one of those videos of how they
can
do
definitely.
It.
I've watched and those.
It's come a long way.
It looks I look at like when it's all done and the pussy they make the and I was like, wow.
They split it and like,
they put like a banana.
Yeah. They do. They know what they do.
They make the lips and everything.
And it wasn't always as pretty.
Yeah.
Now
right.
it's like really like top notch.
Yeah,
like,
one of my
girlfriends. Probably couldn't even tell. Like,
yeah, one of my girlfriends, she had one
The hands give it away.
Yeah, she had one of the first.
They could shave that. I don't know.
She had one of the first surgeries where she had a vagina made for her back in the 70s, and she showed it to me, and it's like, it looks better than,
I was like, I'd sniff it.
Right.
Does it smell like girl?
Does it smell like the 70s?
Does it smell like the 70s?
I didn't get that close.
No. She's from the 70s. It's got to be, she's got to have the whole Pam Grier afro down there, right?
Well, that she's speaking of that, my friend came out, like my friend was staying with me and she went to shower and she's kind of like Burning Man girl, whatever. And she came out to get, and she was naked and her fucking bush was so big.
Yeah, Dolomite style.
And wow. It was so big that I was like, it looks like the back of a, is there car keys in there? Like, is there like a gummy bear? It's like the back of a car seat.
And I like that.
I was like, stop. And I was like, you need to shave your fucking vagina. Not in my house though. Go in the street.
No, because they will block up your drain. My girlfriend, I had my plumber come because she did that at my house.
Exactly. If it's that bad, I mean, it was like, you couldn't see lip. You couldn't see a line. It was just the bush.
No, I like it.
My puss, like, I don't
I
even
like
get that.
Yeah.
I can't. Even a guy, I'm like, go away.
I can't even get that hairy, though. I'm just not really a hairy person. Thank God. Ooh.
I wouldn't even allow that to happen.
I'm so inexperienced, I need the target. But that's just me.
But you, if you shave it off, where would the crabs live?
There you go. That's
where would they go? Where
the ladybugs?
They
the ladybugs. Yes. Yes. Where do the butterflies go?
I mean...
How the lamb stop screaming, Clarice.
Yes,
that's like the human equivalent of like tearing down the rainforest.
Right. So how did so?
My pussy looks bigger.
Yeah. Well, from pussy hair. to the Church of Satan. Now, how did you not? How did you know? I mean, please.
That was a really weak segue. That's,
hey, I'm full of them. But how did you or your mother or your Uncle Satan not take over the Church of Satan? How did this?
Timing and egos.
Yeah.
You know, Satan was too young. I was the son of the most disenfranchised, sort of disassociated member of my family, Zena, who kind of like disavowed my family back in the late 90s. And then not very long after that, disavowed me too, which led to me reconnecting with my grandfather after having not talked to him or seen him for 5 or 6 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't see this. I didn't know. Yeah, so your mother, I know your mother and he...
Yeah, well, she had threatened that she would disown me and never speak to me again if I spoke with him after the time that she severed ties with him. And so there was this period of like 5, 6 years where I didn't speak with Anton, mostly because I was in Europe and I didn't, have enough money for an international phone call. But beyond that, when I came back for a couple years there, I wasn't really avoiding talking to him. We were living in the same place. I was in the Bay Area going to high school.
Right.
And then one thing led to another. Zena had told me on the phone that this is an early lesson in life, verbal agreements mean nothing. She told me that when Anton died, that I would get her portion of whatever inheritance.
Right.
And then, of course, after he died, it was a matter of minutes before she was there, like everyone else. Not myself, not included, vulturing through Anton's stuff,
and I would imagine there's probably been some times where you were mistaken for him.
Yeah, when and even sort of... people in my family call me Anton too sometimes, right. Accidentally. It frustrates my grandmother sometimes when, like, if she's like, she gets all fired up about stuff, right. and sometimes accidentally calls me Anton, and then kind of like goes, oh, I mean Stanton.
I read a story that, and this happened, I'm assuming in Hollywood, where somebody recognized you. And threw a bag at you, like a garbage bag. Is there body parts in there?
No, that's a mix-up of a couple different things that happened.
What's the weirdest thing?
I don't know about
–
I mean, I've had stuff thrown at me before plenty of times. I just don't even
Trust me, you should go to some of my gigs. But
as far as
No, go ahead. What's the weirdest thing? I mean, what's the weirdest interaction you've had with somebody?
Oh, but like on the – as far as like crazy freaks and killers and stuff like that I've had some pretty strange encounters with killers and also weird sort of connections with Charlie Manson. And then other strange things happen. Like one time I was in jail and I had a cellmate who was a murderer who had been Richard Ramirez's cell neighbor, however you'd call that. And he told me this whole story about the real story of how Richard Ramirez died and that he was poisoned and killed by a jail guard. And I don't know about any of this being leaked anywhere or if there's even any, conspiracy type mention of it anywhere. But this guy knew his business and he told me stories too. He had played chess with Charlie Manson. And
wow.
Yeah. I guess
I wrote my senior thesis, college thesis about the Manson murders. I'm like so fascinated with all the
Tarantino's got a film coming out.
Oh, he's doing one too.
Yeah, he's doing.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Yeah, they're 70.
But I always go to the Museum of Death. Like I was actually just there. I used to like go a lot. But
Sharon and I brought a body into the Museum of Death, a dead body.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, tell us more.
Like they had. Because I was going to write Richard Ramirez before he died, and like, what's the guy that works there? He goes, well, if you want to write him, you got to tie your feet together. Take your feet and tie your feet together and take a picture, and then he'll write you back.
Yeah.
He'll write you back like writer. He loves that.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't do it though, but I was like, I should have had a little Richard Ramirez pen pal. I mean, I wanted to write, I'm so fascinated with Charles Manson.
I can't compete with these
because
bad
he didn't
boys.
Do it. I mean, well, Charles Manson, he didn't do, well.
It's not easy being bad.
Yeah. What's your insight into the Manson murders?
Oh,
because Manson and LaVey, did they correspond? Your grandfather?
Yeah, they knew each other. Yeah.
And they're both musicians.
Oh, I thought you were going to say magicians.
in a sense.
Both.
Yeah.
Musicians and magicians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have any insight on what's going on? And did you correspond with Charlie?
I corresponded with Charlie, but in a sort of unorthodox manner. You know, he and I would speak through people and through the media and stuff like that.
Right.
Communicate that way. And we were, you know, we were friends and fans of each other, kind of, mm-hmm. especially near the end. Charlie was really, like, encouraging of me being, you know, someone whose voice was remembered, you know, for having some insight to him and the crimes and all of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So is this going to be in your book? Or
I guess some of it, yeah.
Is there a strange story you've got for as far as the Charles Manson correspondence?
I said we wouldn't talk about this. I asked you to not bring it up. I was arrested once, and Charlie thought that I was arrested for having said something in his biography, and that he thought that I had somehow incriminated myself by something that I had said, which leads me to believe that maybe something that I said in his biography could be interpreted as incriminating.
So you did?
Jesse Ventura, the conspiracy guy,
the wrestler, yeah.
The body?
Let me tell you, Mean Gene, I'm going to tell you about Charles Manson. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was into, I guess, the stuff that I was talking about, some of the conspiracy type theories that I was quoted in Charlie's book, the biography on Charlie called Charles Manson Now.
Okay.
And talked about it on Howard Stern. And,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, I actually tweeted today that, this is where we talk about stuff. Well, why wouldn't we? But, like, I was talking about if you're, my ex was, like, such a sociopath, like, psychopath. Well, psychopaths are born, sociopaths are made. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, and he's like, I did all this altruistic work. And I was like, hey, you know what? Ted Bundy saved a kid from drowning once. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, doesn't mean you're not a monster when you kind of do good shit sometimes.
Yeah, right, mm-hmm. right.
So,
but and it doesn't mean
and
then, that
and karma isn't balanced by proclaiming your justices or your
karma's
yeah.
a bitch if you are
yeah
right
yeah that's
you know?
Right
and just because you're a Satanist doesn't mean that you're necessarily a bad person or an evil person
and it's not at all
no.
same goes with a Christian
in fact Satanism really doesn't define me as far as like and it's not
did it ever.
Yeah, it does in a lot of ways publicly.
Right.
Yeah. But
right.
I mean, as far as like me personally, no matter how good or bad I am, if anything, I affect Satanism more than Satanism affects me,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, when I'm bad, you know, then people say, oh, look, this is proof Satanism is bad. And then when I'm good, people are like, oh, this is proof Satanism works, you know?
Right. So. Right. And that's a burden.
It's a responsibility.
It's right. People in general, like, they have small minds, you know, and they'll just...
It's not a burden. Just, it's yeah. a blessing. I'm happy. I wouldn't be... I'm happy to be born Stan. Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
You said small minds. You looked at me. You almost laughed.
No, like, small... like, minds. Like, I grew up as a non-believer with my grandfather, and it, mm-hmm. it's just... I can't get along
apparently
with religious
so did
people. I can't get no. yeah. I can't get along with Christians and Catholics. It's just something I can't do. I would never be able to date somebody that believed in God and worshipped Him. It's just, I can't.
Yeah. Hannah, we talked about that.
Yeah,
that I went on
did.
A date with
yes.
a Christian, and my mom wasn't mad. My mom, I was not that he was a struggling actor. That he lived in a living room. That he had a shitty yeah. car. She was like, whatever. And then when I told her he was a Christian, she's like, Jesus, you cannot be with a Christian.
Yeah.
You don't believe in fairy tales, Nikki.
Exactly.
Remember?
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking, going out with a Christian? And she's like, gee, this isn't going anywhere. If he tries to convert, you know that you're going to be out the door. I'm like, Mom, I know. And well, of course it just.
Yeah.
And he was like. I'm like, I don't walk with Christ. Well, I do, but he's my drug dealer.
Right.
You know? Well, his name is Jesus, and he's my drug dealer.
I walk with him around the corner.
Actually,
yeah, the only one I'll walk with.
Yeah. The only Jesus I hang out with
exactly.
is Mike, you know,
yeah.
gets me the good shit.
Exactly. And Hannah, go ahead.
Okay, something that I really want to ask you, because I'm really close to my grandfather. What's
yeah.
your most cherished memory with your grandfather?
Oh, wow, I've got a lot. My grandfather was great around me. He was a big kid in a lot of ways, so
mm-hmm.
when I was little, it was like the first chance for him to sort of identify with having a male heir, a male
mm-hmm.
offspring, whether or not, you know, still being that I didn't have a father in the picture, Anton took over the role as my father figure when I was a kid. And I mean, he was, it was a lot of fun. He would take me, you know, into places in our house that basically no one was allowed and show me things and talk to me about stuff privately that I could tell that he was talking with me about, you know, and just with me about, and I could also sense and still do sense sort of envy from different people in my family for how Anton kind of like took me more seriously, I think, than when I was a little kid than he took, you know, raising his daughters, you know. I don't think I got the feeling like the distinct feeling, both my my mother and her sister, when I was little, looked at me with kind of resentment because Anton was very, you know, outspoken about how much he enjoyed me when I was a kid. So we had a lot of good times.
Did Anton like Grease?
Grease is not the word. What the fuck is wrong? They go to the sky for fuck's sake in a car at the end. They're like, it doesn't make fucking sense. Come to get. I would dress like her now. I'm not going to lie.
She died at the beginning. It's all a dream. Anyway.
That's not true. You know what? Someone actually, I tweeted, and someone said that your grandfather was a preschool teacher in the Bay Area for a while.
Huh. I can't imagine that being true.
I know. I think
that maybe there was, you know, like back in the 60s, people used to joke with my grandparents and say, Mary and Paul, where's Peter, you know, because of Peter.
Were there
Paul
other little kids around, or you were the only little kid around?
I was the only little kid around.
Right.
Well, except for my mother, who was 14.
Right. Yeah. And that's something we got to get into next time. Where does the time go? I told you.
Have me back.
I definitely want. You, like I said, our first meeting wasn't the greatest. You turned out to be a cool guy. Definitely want to have you back. I know Hannah does.
Sharon and I always say second impressions are what matter the most, actually. First impressions people put on a front.
Well, I got to be honest. She made a great first impression.
She has that tendency.
Right. But tell us what you got going on and how people can get a hold of you.
Okay. My website's Baphomet X, Baphomet like the goat. Baphomet X like Malcolm X, or X marks the spot,
right?
.com, and pretty much everything I do is from there and to there, and I'll be putting out ads and stuff, and I've got this show happening on August 11th on Melrose.
Yeah, no, I'm probably gonna check it out.
Yeah, please do. Anybody that wants to come out, tickets are available. They're cheap for what it is. I think $25 to see. A really cool vintage copy of Satanas on 16mm, and also some other cool film footage of Anton. Plus, rumor has it that my grandfather may actually materialize.
Well, Hannah's there. Now, if you get a hold of that that Christopher Lee Sammy Davis Jr. movie, I'm definitely there.
I've got a copy. I'll burn it for you.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. And Nikki, how do people get a hold of you? What you got going on? Any new shows coming up? You did a show on Friday the 13th.
I'm doing a veteran show and Whittier at the Hilton on the 17th of July. I'm in the Baltimore Comedy Festival. I'm headed to New Orleans for some shows.
Congratulations on both of those things.
Yeah, it's fun. And then all hail Miss Wants on Twitter. You know, as I answer everything, I'm a fucking Twitter maniac.
Congratulations on the Baltimore Comedy Festival.
It's fun. It'll be fun. And that's home. I'm from Baltimore. So Baltimore, come on.
And where are you playing in New Orleans?
I have to look. I have three shows. I have one at the House of Blues, and then I have two more at Red Dragon. I'll have to look. But, you know, and there'll be when it's closer, because I'm going to be in Baltimore from the 1st to the 4th. I'm doing shows every night. Great. So I don't know, but I'm going to post on my Twitter. And then I have a show at the Cellar Door in Frederick on the 30th of August.
Right.
And then I'm doing Baltimore, and then I have like three shows in New Orleans.
Great.
But I'll post them when a little closer.
All hail Miss Wants.
Allhailmswantz, and that's my real name.
We got that.
That's my real name, Nikki Wants.
You pulled out your ID.
I had to show my ID
last time. Yeah.
And your new BFF, Hannah.
I am Hail Hannah Box 666 on Instagram. That's BAKK.
Yes. Or Nikki Wants You on Instagram.
Yeah. My podcast that I haven't begun is called The Church of Stanton. And the other day I was on Craigslist and some guy was trying to donate a player piano that was broken, and it turned out. He had he's some kind of an early YouTube celebrity. Get this, his name is Scary Dave or something like that, and he had the Church of Dave.
Oh,
I know that guy.
You know
I've
that
heard
guy.
Of
yeah.
that guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, goth comedian on all social media. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy and satanic week. Bye.